The WoW Mega Patch has arrived, Dragon Con hits next week, and we talk universe domination and wormholes with Hoots and Senile from AIE Eve. All that and more coming up right now. This is the AIE Podcast.
It's time to start.
Ready, go. This is the AIE Podcast.
Podcasting live from beautiful central Alabama, this is AccuSign. And joining me this week from the sunny skies of Southern California, you have the amazing Aludra. Aludra, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How's everybody else in AIE tonight?
Unfortunately, Gomez couldn't join us tonight. He is a little tied up at work, so we will be two-hosting the show with some great guests coming up shortly.
Yes, Aludra, we will.
Has anything been going on in the World of Warcraft recently?
You know, it's funny, because for most of the day, I would have said no. But this little patch...
The day has been kind of quiet, yes.
Yes, this little patch dropped, and much like I warned everybody for using caps in GChat, every time you used caps in GChat, Blizzard did extend maintenance for 15 minutes. You know who you are. You did it.
Maintenance was extended for what, 2 hours, 3 hours?
Somebody it was supposed to go up at 11, and it wasn't up till 3. Yeah.
All right, so,
let's just jump crazy. In. So that's crazy. No, Zod, what have you been up to? Nope.
Nothing at all, actually. I've been so buried in work. I've been waiting for Pandas to come out. Other than that, I really haven't been doing anything, unfortunately.
Aww. I got Lore Master.
Kind of quiet week. Oh, actually, I take it back. I'm preparing for Dragon Con, which I'll talk about a little bit later on.
Awesome. All right, now we can go into news, and hopefully I hit the right bumper this time.
AIE News.
All right, let's do some AIE News. First up, Xanar joins the AIE Council. Now, many people may know Xanar as a super, super cool hunter. Actually, I did not know she played Hunter. I just know
she
her as being super cool in
us.
General.
She used to run with us.
I know, but she was just awesome, so. But you may not know that she's also the brains behind the AIE logos and many of the graphics we use on AIE products and things and t-shirts and hats and all sorts of neat, crazy things. Well, she has been invited to be a member of the AIE Council, which is the leading body in charge of the entire AIE organization. And with her new position, she gets the official title of Head of AIE Branding. Woohoo! Wish her congratulations
wow.
on becoming part of AIE's governing body.
Wow, that is huge. Now it's all official, which means we all know who to blame.
Yes, exactly. Which means now she has to do it all the time, not just because she wants to.
Yeah. All right, World of Warcraft, like we mentioned, got its mega patch today. That's right, 5.0 has dropped, and then it broke, and then it was cleaned up. What's that mean for you? Well, it means there's a new talent build system, new account-wide achievements, account-wide pets, and a whole lot of downtime. But by the time you hear this, that's all going to be over. For patching info and... Yeah, hopefully, right? For patching info and a handy-dandy survival guide, check out the Blizzard site or see the show notes. Fun fact about all this?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I was just going to say, fun fact about all this is you, to get all your pets and mounts account-wide, you have to log into each toon individually. Every toon you got
so
who has something.
I logged on to my Shadow Priest because I wanted... We recently got the pet from ICC on my Paladin. I wanted to see it in shadow form. I logged on my Shadow Priest, and I was so sad. I was like, aw, he doesn't have it. But luckily, Aludra saved the day and told me to log into the Paladin first, and that will push it account-wide.
Yes, it's so awesome. And then a hojillion achievements ding, and now I have way too many account points. It's crazy. It's super fun.
All right, how many pets do you have now? Or how many mounts?
Mounts? Mounts, I went from 107 to 119, and pets, I went from 172 to 327.
That's insane.
I'm not even the member with the most.
Well, actually, it just tells me that there's that many pets in-game.
No, it's
multiples.
That's
a lot of pets.
For right now, we're allowed to have multiples. So I have, like, 4 seems to be my magic number. Apparently, I only collected pets on 4 toons, so yay. But you're allowed to have multiples of each one. Now, later, you can crate them up. You just right-click, hit crate, and then it'll go in your bag, and then you can sell them and stuff. So if you only really want one Cornish Rex cat, and who doesn't only really want one, then you can sell the rest or give them away. So
wait a minute, does that mean I can go to a vendor and then just keep buying the same cockroach over and over and over until I get the achievements?
Nope, because after the patch, we're only allowed to have unlimited for a very limited amount of time. After, in a bit, what they're going to do is they're going to say, nope, you can only have three.
Oh, so, mean. Yeah,
what do you need more than three cockroaches for? Three's a team.
That's true. All right, let's move on to the next news topic. We've got Guild Wars 2 has launched, and we've picked a home server. For all those who didn't know that, AIE has branched out into Guild Wars 2, so if you're a Guild Wars 2 player, join up. Come play with us. And for all you guys looking to find us in the game, head to the server Dragonbrand. I like that name.
Mm-hmm.
And join in on the fun. If you'd like to help Duris, the settlement leader, and the AIE quest to get started, and the AIE, that doesn't make any sense at all.
And the quest of AIE to get started. I made it work. You can make it work, too.
I just read anything in front of me. That's fine. Head on over to the shiny new AIE Guild Wars 2 section of the forums.
Don't tell me you'll read anything, because I'll have fun with the show notes.
Next week is going to be really funny, I can tell.
All right, a new officer has joined the Secret World crew. Mo Jagfan, also known as Tyranny, has been a huge help in getting the AIE segment of the world, Secret World going, of the World of Warcraft. No, of the Secret World. Not everything's about
Secret
WoW,
World
Aludra.
Of Warcraft.
Yes, the Secret World of Warcraft. Sindrake recently promoted them to be a part of the madness of the settlement officers. Send your congrats and condolences along in the Secret World forums.
And the Steam community page is now in open beta. If you signed up for Steam beta, go ahead and check it out. We've heard it's full of cool and interesting stuff and worth a good look.
Yeah, but I'm not in it, so...
neither am I. I don't think I am. Maybe I am. It's been a really busy week. I probably am and don't even know it.
Probably. All right, AIE Tour Pug Night, September 4th, starting between 7 and 8 server time. If you want to join, say something in G-Chat, or let forum member G-Jitsu, not Jiu-Jitsu, but G-Jitsu, know. There's a thread on the forums about it and everything. The event is planned to be a nice romp through flashpoints for members who are having a hard time finding a good paced groups and who want to have fun without hitting the space bar. So these guys just want to go in, enjoy the content, they've never seen it before, and if you want to join them, let them know.
Ignore the space bar. Is that where you stop and get a drink in Star Wars?
No, it's how you skip the movie scenes. You hit the space bar.
Oh, did not. I always watch those. I did not know you could. I wouldn't
want
to skip
them. Well, yeah,
they're
interesting
cool.
And good. Yeah, but if you're running the same flashpoint for the 90th time, I guess you get bored. But
no, it's true. Like, Lady talks too much in ICC. After a while, you're like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, all we're right. Okay, Lady.
Last up, it's Dragon Con. It's finally here. I promise this is the last week I'm going to talk about it, except for next week when I talk about how awesome it was. Dragon Con is up this weekend in Atlanta. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Monday? I think on Monday. AIE will be having an official meetup 6 p.m. Saturday night in the games room at the bottom of the Hilton. And however, we're going to try to camp the games room kind of every single day. So if you're ever in between shows or panels, you don't know what you want to do, or you're just kind of, you know, grabbing a meal, grab your food, head on down to the games room. Odds are there's going to be somebody down there just hanging out, playing some games, having some fun throughout the entire conference. And don't forget, Veronica Belmont has got her Sword and Laser podcast. She'll be at the Parsec Awards, and yay! There's a good chance she will be at the best panel of the entire weekend, the AIE Extreme Guild Management panel, led by yours truly.
I wish I was there for this.
You should so be there. Ralph and I were just going over our notes, what we're going to do with the panel. It's going to be pretty good, we think. So that is 8:30 Saturday night in the MMO room, which I just forgot which room that was, but I'll make sure it's posted. For those of you attending or those of you who wish you could, make sure to search and follow on the Twitter hashtag AIEDC. That's what we'll be Twittering all about, what's going on. And we'll also be streaming the Guild Management panel live over Ustream as well. So
yay! Tune
in and watch it if you can't actually be there.
I hear AIEDC and I think disconnect, server dump. Nope.
We've done that before.
Yes, totally. All right. And that's our news. Yay! So, let's welcome our guests, Hoots and Lord Senile. Hey, guys.
Hello. Hey there.
Greetings. Yay! I know you guys play Eve, but every time I hear Lord Senile, I just want to go dun, 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 yeah. dun, dun,
dun. That's very appropriate, actually.
I was going to say, that's not too far off at all.
That's awesome. That so what is so going awesome. On in the, what's going on in the world of Eve?
Well, lots of things. Hoots, you were you on the Black Ops op that we did a couple weeks ago?
I was not. I missed it. I had to work that night.
All right. But you were getting prepared for it at least. So we started out, we were doing, and this is for Taxilus, there are no AIU members here representing. They're busy fighting the good fight against all the other people in EVE that need their space liberated. Test Alliance is on a crusade to bring freedom and democracy to the Russian parts of EVE Online and liberate their moon minerals from them.
Did you just say the Russian parts of EVE Online?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There are Russian parts?
Oh, my God.
Oh yeah. There are very Russian parts.
There are predominantly Russian parts, actually, from what I gathered.
Yeah, and you generally don't want to go in there. One, I don't speak Russian. And two, they just will kill you. You know, that's kind of a problem.
That'll ruin your day.
Mm.
Especially in EVE, because that costs you real money.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't cost you real money. It costs you fake money.
Fake money that can be converted into real money and thus has real money value.
No,
the other way around. Real money can be converted into fake money. But you cannot convert. Yeah, you're not supposed to. It's, I think, against the terms of service to convert the fake money into real money.
I thought you converted. Okay.
No, you can't. Mm. You can't do that. So, you know, when somebody loses a Titan that costs 64 billion ISK, and that's like how many ever $1,000, they probably did not just lose that money. What was lost was some significant amount of time from the Alliance and everyone else trying to build this thing, because a Titan has more minerals in it than, like, I don't know. I saw a statistic once that said it had more minerals in it than the entire mass of all the moons in a particular solar system or something.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That is crazy. That's pretty insane.
Yeah, more than money, you lose a lot of your time that you basically put into basically creating all of that stuff.
Yeah, and that's part of the fun factor is the adrenaline. You get into this situation where you don't know if you're going to lose the ship or not. It really gets to you because there's a penalty. You know?
Yeah, there's a real actual penalty attached to it, not just, okay, I'll go run back and, you know, pay my repair bill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So Test and AIU are out doing their thing. They're being, so far, very, very successful. They basically rolled over an entire, like, two or three regions of space where the guys didn't even bother trying to defend themselves. There's recordings of the enemy's fleet commanders and leaders of their alliances where they are all basically saying, yeah, we're not going to undock and fight that. That's way too much firepower. I'm just imagining some big fish guy saying, you know, we can't repel firepower of that magnitude.
Quite
right. They can't. And so they left.
It's a trap.
Yes.
Wrong game
so
again, sorry.
They took off, and so they just took three whole regions, which is just fantastic. And now they're trying to crack down on the home systems of these guys, and they really have them on the run. If they continue like this, they're going to, between CFC, the Goon Swarm Coalition, and the Honey Badger Coalition, which is the one that AIU is involved with Test Alliance, they're going to own most of Null Security Space, which is mind-boggling. At some point, that should fracture and things break up into little pieces, and it will look like you know, the end of the Soviet Union and all these little warring states and stuff. But we'll see how that goes. That'll be interesting when it happens, if it happens.
This just proves why parents should let the kids play Eve. It's a very, very educational kind of game.
Yeah.
They'll learn world domination techniques. So
universe domination. Forget world. That's too small for Eve. We need the universe.
Yeah. And we're not intergalactic yet, but maybe they'll introduce that in a patch or something. So Taxil, the smaller group, has been doing – we started out doing PvP in LoSec. We kind of wanted to just go do, you know, some fun stuff without having to worry about these larger issues, you know. Taking over a universe takes its toll, and maybe you don't want to have to worry about the big issues anymore. So we went to go randomly shoot people in LoSec that weren't suspecting it. And then we shifted to exploration, which goes hand in hand with LoSec exploration. It's out in the same area, except you can get a lot more ISK for it. Mission running. We did some mission running for a while. That was pretty fun. And then we finally transitioned over to doing these Black Ops hot drops, which is the bomber stuff. We talked about the bombers before. Hoots, you understand how that works, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Can you explain that for us?
Well, so basically, and maybe I'm not quite up to speed on it as Senile is, but basically we get a group of people together. Usually, I want to say anywhere from 6 to 12 people. The large portion of those people are flying ships called stealth bombers, which are cloaky ships that can turn invisible and can't be detected by other enemy ships. And then the second part is they're bombers. They're glass cannons. They do a lot of damage. But they can be killed very quickly by other ships if they were to be caught, not stealth. We also have a couple other specialty ships, and this is kind of where Senile might know a little bit more. Essentially, we hop from one system, and we use a Sino Gate, right, Senile?
Yes.
Okay. Yep, basically, from a low-security system, we hop into a what's called null security system, which is essentially a lawless region of space. We find and we kind of scout out people who've kind of been sitting in those systems and have been a little complacent, and that we think, I mean, we're just giving them a little bit of excitement. So we'll warp our fleet there.
Goon Swarm is famous for saying, as soon as they finish destroying people, you're welcome for the player-generated content. So that's what we're doing.
Right, and we pretty much warp to the system with our lovely fleet of bombers, and we blow up ships, and then we cloak up, and everyone in the system panics, and because we're cloaked, they can't really do anything. We just kind of sit there until they, 15 minutes later, go, oh, well, okay, I guess we'll go away. And then we... And
it takes some logistics to get it set up, but we had our first tryout of this last week. And we went into NullSec, some NullSec Alliance's space, not one of CFC or Honey Badger, it was CVA, and did a hot drop on one of their guys. Basically, what we did is we sent in Fegan, who's one of our exploding people from the Tuku School of Eve, and he went in his little ship, looking completely innocuous, and some big bad Talos came up saying, ooh, you know, juicy, I'm going to kill this guy, and chased him to a planet. And Fegan started to get shot, and oh no. And then he lit the Sino, and 10 bombers came in, killed the enemy in about 4 or 5 seconds. At that point, the guy's still wondering what happened. A few minutes after that, he actually called in his alliance buddies, and there was a response of around 22, 25 ships, fully with logistics ships and battleships and all kinds of crazy stuff on the field to try to kill us. And we just sat there. Everybody went and got a sandwich, got a drink, cloaked. Nothing they can do about it. And eventually they just gave up, and then we left. So, good success. However,
it sounds like you had fun.
It was pretty fun. It's always fun being able to you know, PvP in Eve and not lose a bunch of ships. Because that's often the way it goes. But we're moving on to wormholes, because we've been jumping around from all these different things for a while. And we figure, hey, let's do something that's going to focus us. Wormholes can be very, very difficult. So, little background. Eve, everything is built on a grand scale, actual scale. The distances are huge. Solar systems are many AUs apart. That's an AU is about like 92 million miles, and solar systems can be 100 or over 100 AUs across. Your ship, when it's in sublight drive, only travels. Even the fastest one at about Mach 22, which is, you know, several thousand meters per second. And if you look at that, if you were going that speed and try to travel across one small solar system, let's say it's only even 10 AUs across, it would take you years of real time to actually do that. Years. So you have faster than light drives that allow you to zip around a solar system from one place to another. However, when you want to go interstellar and move from one solar system to another, you have to use a Stargate. And Stargates, it's interesting lore, but were placed all over the place by some of the from technology from ancient races. And in this game, of course, the ancient race is the human race. and they just had come through the Eve Gate and split off and sort of become different over time. But the they're only connected via stargates. That's the only thing that allows them to connect. But at some point in the game, a few years ago, I think, an interesting event occurred. There's this planet, Saylin is the name of the planet, I believe is how you pronounce it. And the lore here that happened around this time is that everybody lost contact with Saylin. Like all the beacons on the planet went dead and nobody really knew what happened. Somebody thought, you know, a lot of the guys thought that maybe being hit by a nuclear strike or something. Maybe it was aggression from one of the nearby entities like the Kaldari or the Ymar or something. This is a Galente system. And eventually they found out that the star had actually had some sort of coronal mass ejection that had gone and hit the planet and basically broke it into a couple pieces. So that's not cool. And then shortly after that, there is all these reports of disappearances of large fleets of exploration ships just disappearing and never showing up again. And then the entire Stargate network into the Galente region of space stopped working, stranding everybody that was inside of there, inside of the solar systems that they were in. So as it turns out, this is discovered to be the event of multiple wormholes popping up throughout the galaxy. Wormholes, of course, are bridges from one place in space to another directly. If you've ever seen the old explanation where somebody takes a piece of paper and they say, you know, the distance from here to here is 10 inches, but then they take the paper and they fold it up and connect the two points and then poke a hole through it with a pen, now the distance is zero. It's the same thing.
It's a tesseract.
It's cool. And actually, I was looking around the history of wormholes, actual wormholes in general, and I was surprised to find that they apparently actually were called Einstein-Rosen bridges. I thought that was just a Thor thing, but that is apparently what they were initially called because the two guys that came up with the theory. So that's pretty cool. But we're going into wormholes. So what's on the other side of a wormhole anyway? Well, it could be another system. It could work just like a Stargate where you jump from one system to another, or it could end up being into unknown space, a region of space that hasn't been occupied by any of the four races before. It's unknown. It's not connected to the Stargate network at all. The only way in or out is the wormholes. And these wormholes are not stable. They degrade over time. They can only handle so much mass, and they can only exist for so much time before they disappear. So when you jump into a wormhole, you have to be ready for the fact that maybe that wormhole will close. Hoots, didn't you get the wormhole closed on you at some point?
Yeah, I totally did. Actually, just a couple days ago, I was in our little wormhole system, and it was near high security space. So I thought to myself, well, I'm going to go out to high security space and kind of putz around for a little bit. And so I kind of putzed around for a couple of hours, and then I went back to where the wormhole entrance to our system was, and it wasn't there. And I was like, oh no. Because the wormhole will reopen, but it reopens, and as it turned out, it reopened somewhere like 30 or 40 jumps away from where I was. So I was totally lost.
Completely
to
on the other side of the galaxy. Yeah.
Yep.
And that's how they work. So usually what corporations or alliances will do if they want to go into wormhole space, and there's different classes of wormholes, class 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They will go through there, and if they find an unknown star system, they may go live there. What's interesting about the wormholes is that you can find ancient technology in them, because at one time, apparently, some other offshoots of humans that came through the Eve Gate became, you know, pretty advanced and had created their own method of traveling faster than light other than the Stargates, and were actually living in these systems, but they're gone now. We don't know where they are, or if they died out, or if they moved on, or went to another plane of existence or something. Who knows? But they left some of their stuff behind. So going in a wormhole, you go to find the stuff, salvage the stuff, and then sell it, because obviously it's very valuable.
Unfortunately, some of the stuff isn't always very friendly. Sometimes it's drones that want to shoot you and don't really they aren't susceptible to really any sort of damage type, so it takes a lot of firepower to take them down.
It's kind of rude.
Yeah,
I know, yeah, a little right? bit. Jeez.
And,
like
and
they
so, to
live.
Give you an idea, like a class five you can get into a situation where doing these sites, in a class one, you can do it in a single battle cruiser in a class one. But in a class five, you might need carrier support to be able to do the instance or the site or whatever you want to call it. So that's really what we're trying to do. And it's difficult to live in a wormhole because you have no stations, you have no cloning facilities. There's no repair. There's no repair facilities. There's no Stargate network. There's no market. Nothing works.
Right, so as a player of the game, if you find yourself trapped in some galaxy far away and your wormhole closes, actually do?
If you went through a wormhole, and we've had people that have had this happen, they go through the wormhole, and then for some reason the ship that they use to get in there, which is a specialized ship that has scanning, it's an exploration ship. It has scanning probes and things that can find these entrances and exits through space. If that's destroyed and you're left in your pod, or you lose your probes or whatever, and the entrance closed, well, you're stuck. The only way that you can get out is to hope that somebody else comes in and you can convince them that it's good for them to let you out. Ha ha. That probably will not happen. Or you can blow up your pod, kill your clone, and wake up in a clone somewhere else.
Okay, I thought you were saying you were just, cancel your subscription, delete your account. There's nothing else you can do. I'm like, wow, that's pretty serious.
No, but if you did go in there in an expensive ship and had no way to probe it back out, you might try to find a way to get out over time if it's an expensive
75
enough,
jumps
enough
later,
ship.
You'll be home.
Well, there's no way. There's no jumps. There's no way to get out.
There's
no Stargate network.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
You like switch to another ship and play that ship, or are you just stuck with that?
You can't. Why would you have another ship? You were in a ship when you came in. Where did the other ship come from? Right. It's a very simple problem, and a lot of people get in there and they don't. It's like people swimming against a riptide or something. They don't understand how serious the situation is until it's too late. They came in a ship. They don't have probes. They didn't bookmark the entrance. People can even not lose a ship if they go into a wormhole and forget to put a little bookmark, put a little beacon on the exit that they just came in through. If they forget to do that and then warp off, they don't have any way to find the exit hole anymore.
Yeah, I actually did that about a week ago, and I went in with a scanning ship, so it wasn't really any problem. But I was like, oh, if I came in here without a scanning ship, that would be really bad news.
Another thing is there's a mechanic in the game, local chat, which works great to let you see how many people are in the system and who they are, what alliances they're in, because it's a little chat list, and it just says, there's 15 people in this system, and there's like this guy, and you can talk to them and whatnot. In wormholes, that system doesn't work. It's designed that way. So the local chat never says that there's anybody there. It's always empty, and there may be people there, but you don't know. So that's another mechanic of the wormhole. It's so if you're cloaked and you're in a wormhole, there's no way that anybody can know that you're there. Only if you became decloaked at some point and they could see you, or if you type something in the local chat saying, hello, I'm here, they're not going to find you. So you have to be careful when you're living in a wormhole system that people don't just jump you, because you won't notice. You won't see them coming in until it's too late. So you're constantly having to run scans and watch the entrances. There's even ways you can collapse your own exit and entry wormholes. If it opens up to a place where you'd really rather not have it connected, because there's lots of bad guys on the other side, there are techniques you can use with really massive ships, or even virtually massive ships, which is complicated. We won't get into that. But you can go and collapse the wormhole intentionally, and then it will move to some other location.
That's just so crazy.
It's an interesting mechanic.
Yeah.
So we're looking at trying to get into a class 3 wormhole with the group, and it's going to require lots of extra training and a couple of capital ships and setting up our own stations. But it's going to be really fun. I don't know if it's going to be profitable, but it's going to be a great amount of fun for everybody, and everybody's going to have to work together to make it happen. So we'll see how that works. Also, because of that, we are going to form an alliance, which is news to pretty much everybody. We are going to create a little alliance, and the only reason to do that, we're not going for domination here, is that it allows us to create lots of little sub corporations in the alliance that are still related to each other, and manage the roles inside of those corporations independently, so that maybe there's a wormhole corporation that just goes and lives in the wormhole, and maybe there's a corporation for just running missions or just mining, And it allows us to have different levels of trust. Because being in a wormhole requires a lot of trust.
So what you're saying is you're Activision and you're buying Blizzard. Because they're really good at the video game part.
Yeah, we just we have to do something so that we can still bring in anybody that wants to apply and wants to come in and play Eve. They can come in and play the game with us. But by the same token, when you live in a wormhole, everything's sort of communal, and you could have billions of ISK of stuff sitting in some place where everybody can access it. Nothing's stopping them from taking it all. So we have to only bring in people there that we trust. And those two sort of work against each other. So we need a couple of different entities, and we're going to tie them together with an alliance. So that's going to be fun, and we'll announce the name for that and where you can apply to later. But right now, if you're interested, you can apply to Taxless Transstellar. I believe we have a little promo running at the end of the show that we put together a couple of weeks ago. And that's Taxel, like, it kind of sounds like a pharmaceutical company, doesn't it? But T-A-X-I-L is the ticker. You just type that in and submit your application, and off you go. And you're ready to start jumping through wormholes and losing your ship and dying horribly. So do you guys have any questions or anything you're interested about?
I'm just scared by the whole concept now. I'm paranoid. I'm going to go through a wormhole and then get stuck for weeks.
I know. Possibly
so
forever.
You guys won't do it tonight? Nothing. I'm in a wormhole.
I'm still stuck. And you could be in your most expensive ship with a cargo. I mean, if you're really crazy, I mean, this would be insane. But, you know, your most expensive ship, and it's full of very expensive, and all you can do is blow yourself up or fly and pray. But that's not going to go somewhere, or not really going to work.
Well,
space is big, okay? This was my problem with the game, because it's my problem with outer space and reality. Space is big.
Yeah.
And there's not much to see, along the road. I mean, there's planets, but they're really far away. And there's the sun, but it's really far away. And look, that galaxy over there, that's even further away, right? So, and between all these things, really, it's just people that want to kill you. So it's a harsh environment.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
nowhere, and it's just people that want to kill you.
That's funny.
What I like about Eve is you'll be like, oh, what a pretty nebula so far away. And somebody else goes, well, why don't you go to it? It's like, because I'm used to that being a background and not a place I can go to.
Oh, and that's really cool. The first time I discovered how that works, because you will see these constellations and you will see these nebula. And you're like, oh, that's pretty. And then you're traveling around and you notice it's getting larger. And you're like, well, that's interesting. And then at some point you make a long FTL jump from one system to another, and then all of a sudden it's all around you. You're like, whoa, that's cool. You know, I actually moved inside of that thing that I was seeing. And you can now even almost navigate, if you memorize the nebula, you can navigate by looking at them and figuring out where you need to go to get closer to them. You can actually navigate around to the different areas of space. But there's probably a lot of people that will listen to this that are in Eve that say, oh, there's no way you guys are ready for wormholes. And you'd be completely right. We don't care, though. We're going to lose a lot, and we're going to do it wrong. And we're just going to try it anyway. In fact, we've already – this is a couple weeks ago. We lost an entire wormhole. We lost it. How do you lose a wormhole? Well, you make it so that there's nobody in – no, Tuku was not involved, but Fegan was involved. But we had a little hole, and we were looking at maybe getting into this, and so we put a little POS in it, and we're getting set up, and then we magically arranged it so that nobody was in the wormhole at some given time, and then the entrance moved. Okay, and you're like, oh well, the entrance moved. Okay, you know, there's no way to find it again. The chances of you finding an entrance to that wormhole again are very, 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 very low. So it was gone.
Oh, yeah.
The POS is still in there. The stuff is still in there. We just don't know where it is.
Oh, that's just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's really cool.
Yeah. You know, that's what I always liked about you guys. You're so willing to go, oh, we just lost all this stuff. Oh, well. And you don't let it ruin your day. You laugh about it. You'll tease each other about it. But at the end of the day, you're like, eh.
Yeah, but I just, you know, I was imagining Fegan getting to that hole and it's not there. And it's, you know, like, you know, Heimdall, open the Bifrost. For the love of God, let me back in. Nope. Sorry.
Good thing you weren't on the other side of it.
Yeah, well,
the exit would still be there, wouldn't it?
if you were in the hole, you would have sort of, the system doesn't really move, but it's a way to think about it conceptually. You would have moved with it and you would be okay. But because everybody was outside and it moved, we didn't know where it went. So lost forever.
Nice.
Just weird. Just weird. Anything else you want to talk to us about AIE and Eve?
I think we got everything pretty much covered, and we know what Test is doing and dominating the universe and what we're doing, which is failing a lot but having fun at it. I think we got it covered.
All right. Well, then let's call that our show for tonight. I want to thank you guys so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Real fun talking to you both.
Yeah, no, it was a blast.
Always
thank
fun
you.
Being here.
All right, next week we'll be talking with our World of Warcraft team about all the new changes that hit today.
Ooh, and that's a lot to cover. Quick mention, we have some great iTunes review. Ah, because he wrote reviews. See how I did that? Thanks to Sybil, we don't know if we should apologize or be glad that we are the root of your problem. Want to get a shout out? Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. It's just that easy, and we are just that easily paid off. In fact, contest! Best 5-star iTunes review before next week wins a World of Warcraft game starter kit. Now, this is the minifigure game. They're like little figures, and there's 4 of them, and if you enter, you win, and yay.
That's awesome. I want one. Can I do a review? Does that count?
I think our listeners will beat you out, man.
They probably will. Sybil's really good, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And stay tuned. We've got some great AIE member segments coming up, including Ask Miss Malgra, Overly Dramatic News, Mod Minute, Mysteries of Pandaria 1, Kapudan, I think that's how it's pronounced, Epic Achievements, Mega Minute, and Southern Gaming.
But first, if you need to reach us, we can be found at podcast@aie-guild.org. Ah, and that's our email. Ha ha. I tried to say all that at once, and it just didn't work out for me. Our Twitter for the show is @AIEPodcast. Gomez, who couldn't make it, is @ShowNotFound. Accuzad is @Accuzad, and I am @Aludra_AIE. Do you guys have any Twitters?
Yes, I'm @LordSenile. I usually am only giving bad Eve tips on there about how to lose your ship. But I'm there, and you can't contact me.
With me, no, not really. You can always usually find one of us if you want to hit us up in the vent channel. Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, if you do play EVE Online with us, it is a lot more fun to join the vent channel.
It really is
because space is a lonely, lonely place, and the vent channel just is great for EVE Online. So I'm usually hanging out.
Don't be shy about using vent. Get on in there. It's fine.
And
no big deal. We'll
so
talk
big.
About wormholes.
Yes, wormholes and how not to get locked out of one, or how to properly bookmark it, and all that fun stuff, so you don't end up blowing up all your.
Or
cargo.
How to control a market, or. Or whatever we're learning how to do today.
How to take over the universe.
Yes.
Yeah, that about sums
slowly.
It up.
All right.
Thank you guys very much.
We have a new website at www.theaiepodcast.com.
Yep. Sorry about that. Forgot you hadn't gotten to that part yet.
Yes, I have not. Good night, guys. Thank you.
Good night, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Night, guys. Thanks for having us.
Thromka, and welcome to Ask Miss Malgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, when is it appropriate to skin someone else's kill? Skinning is a profession often adopted by hunters. It is important to note that hunters spend so much time alone talking to their pets. They soon become unsuitable candidates for other careers. While it may seem like that carcass is being left to rot, it may be crucial to the livelihood of a hunter who is running around killing things to skin later. Leave the hunter his skin. One exception to this is if you encounter a worgen hunter. In that case, you should skin his kill. Then skin the worgen. I am Miss Malgra, And that is my advice. Akamagosh. Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com.
Shadowy Group releases secret information. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. In the wake of the virtual break-in at Blizzard recently, ODN this morning received a package from a previously unknown group calling itself WowLeaks. Inside was a set of facts supposedly gleaned from the stolen information. In the interest of public knowledge, and because the ODN story inbox has been running a bit low recently, we now bring you the details. First up, Illidan Stormrage's password is 12345, and he doesn't have an authenticator. It turns out he was not prepared. Credit card records show that Johnny Feisty is not a real person. His account is actually controlled by Flappy the Dragonhawk. Garrosh Hellscream's password was cracked, but it is unclear if Bronies Forever has any deeper meaning, or it was just random phrases. Speaking of passwords, all the pets owned by Aludra the Mage will likely feel very uneasy when they learn that hers is tastes like chicken. This one's about me. Analysis of Hunts the Wind's account info, IP address history, and linked emails conclusively shows that he has a secret life moonlighting as a television meteor. Oh, look, we're out of time. Tune in next week when we hopefully will be reporting on how WowLeaks was extradited to Stormwind Stockade to face questioning. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
What's up, guys? This is Kephas, your friendly neighborhood paladin. And on today's Mod Minute, we're taking a look at a future mod called Pet Battle Teams. By future mod, I mean this mod is currently in the Mists of Pandaria beta. Reason why? It's all about battle pets. Now, if you're not currently in beta or you've never played battle pets, let me fill you in on a couple things. For one, you're only allowed to have a team of three. And, in order to switch out your team, you must drag and drop each pet one at a time. But with this mod, that process becomes a lot easier because it allows you to set up 60 different teams of three, and allows you to switch them with a click of a button, rather than having to drag and drop each one. It also allows you to preset their abilities, so the whole process becomes very simple. Now this is just one of many useful new tools discovered in the Mists of Pandaria beta, and for the weeks to come up until the expansion's release, I will be bringing you all the cool beta mods I can find, so stay tuned. You can find Pet Battle Teams on Curse, you can follow me on Twitter at TheKephas, and you can learn more about Mod Minute by heading over to modminute.blogspot.com. This is Kephas. Until next time.
Greetings, Takumi Kazuchi here with another edition of Epic Achievements, your one-stop destination for achievements in World of Warcraft. This week's achievement is known as I Hate That Song, which is worth 10 achievement points. This can be attained by defeating Temple Guardian Honor without allowing him to sing Reverberating Hymn for more than 15 seconds on Heroic Halls of Origination. Have your group's tank hop down into the snake pit surrounding the boss and pick up all the snakes before engaging. Once they have all the snakes, begin the encounter. All DPS focus their assault on the boss while completely ignoring the snake. Do not use any AoE attacks during this time. The snakes will not respawn in the pit unless killed. Healers can outheal the damage from the snakes on the tank as the snakes do not hit for much. At 67% and 34% health, Honor will cast Reverberating Hymn, which will shield him and prevent any damage, as well as a stacking damage debuff up on everyone every 4 seconds, which needs to be interrupted once the shield drops. Have your lever pullers jump down a bit early to allow them extra prep time and have an interrupt ready once the shield goes down. When the hymn is cast, pull the levers, which will take about 10 seconds to do. Provided no snakes were killed up top, there should be none to slow down the lever team. Once the shield is broken and the spell interrupted, resume attacking on Ur, repeat the above steps at around 40%, then kill him off to get your achievement. For more epic achievements, visit epicachievements.blogspot.com.
Welcome back to another Mega Minute with Mega Code, a minicast on all things Holy Paladin. With 5.0 upon us, I'm switching gears and we'll be going over info that pertains only to Mists of Pandaria expansion. This week I thought I'd go over some passive changes to Holy Paladins. First, Protector of the Innocent. We no longer have this talent to help out with mana regen. Instead, it's been revamped into a glyph, and the big change to mana is that all healers have a fixed mana pool, which at level 90 is 300k. For us, this means no more judging once a minute to keep Protector of the Innocent up. Second, Boundless Conviction. Boundless Conviction is a new passive class talent, allows us to store an additional 2 holy power beyond the maximum of 3 for a total of 5. No ability ever consumes more than 3 holy power. This will give us the opportunity to get more free holy power heals off, or have one banked for emergencies. Last, Daybreak. Currently, when Daybreak procs, we get 2 holy shocks back to back. Daybreak come Mists of Pandaria gets a total facelift. After casting Holy Radiance, your next Holy Shock will also heal other allies within 10 yards of the target for an amount equal to the original healing done, divided evenly among all targets. It's no longer a proc, and instead is a permanent passive class talent. Probably not a game changer, but nonetheless, something that will bump up our raid healing throughput. With Boundless Conviction and Daybreak, I think we're still in a good position to be very decent raid healers. This completes this week's Mega Minute. Come follow me on Twitter at FFPMMark with a C, or check out my blog page at healingspec.com.
Howdy and welcome to another Southern Gaming with Boovy. I wants to clear up any confusion right now about them there panders. People don't know what they're talking about when they spout off that the panders are a copy of that there Kung Fu Panda movie. Well, that just ain't right. Back in 2003, before old Kung Fu Panda was released in 2008, there was a feller named Chen. He came along in Warcraft 3 as Brewmaster Chen. Now, for those of you that are sharp, you might have found an item called Chen's Empty Keg in the Barrens. All this is before Mr. Kung Fu Panda Pants was even thought of. Chen returns in Mists of Pandaria and is the feller you see in the opening cinematic of the new expansion. He's also the one that's narrating it and doing all the talking there. I tell you what, I loves me a good brewmaster. Oh, yes, I do. Well, folks, that's it for this here edition of Southern Gaming. Don't fall prey to them there false rumors. Catch y'all later.
It is good to see you, Aliyah Octa-Earth. My name is Chen, and I am Pandaren. Do not be alarmed. I speak to you through magical means. You dream of coming to our lands in the mist, but your mind is filled with fear. You are right to fear. You do not know the ways of my homeland, and it is fraught with danger. You may not even reach our shores. Many horde ships already lie broken under the waves. But I favor you, AIE, so allow me to share with you this secret. In Pandaria, it is customary to eat a fortifying meal before leaving on a long, perilous journey. This has practical purposes. Food keeps you strong and wary. But centuries of practice has turned this into a mandatory blessing. It is now enough to invoke this magical blessing merely by tapping the plate of food with your right hand. Without it, you are kapunan, cursed. Heed my warning, AIE. Avoid the kapunan curse or you may drown and perish. I wish you great fortune, Aliyah Actaris. May you live long enough to reach me. I know you can.
Message me on twitter.com/talkingaloudbru to talk about more comparisons between real Asian mysteries and Pandaria. Google It's Polite to Touch the Plate Lightly with the Right Hand for more info on this real-life Bruneian custom. This has been Shahiran of AIE Earthen Ring, the only Bruneian in the AIE village.
We are Taxellus Transtella, bringing the bounties of New Eden to your doorstep. Our corporation specializes in asset liberation, reallocation and liquidation, exploration and transport. We also have a special on population pacification, and now offer our services to the growing population of New Eden. Are you interested in contracting our services? Please contact Lord Senile. Interested in being employed by Taxol? Please visit the AIE site and fill out a new MAMI application. Our friendly corporate managers will analyze your application and be with you shortly. Taxilus Transtella, toward your destiny in New Eden. Pew 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 pew, kaboom tuku blew up again. You failed to jump because you are cloaked, noob.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this week's show all about wormholes and Eve. We had a ton of fun talking with this week's guests, Lord Senile and Hoots. We hope you will join us next week when we find out how World of Warcraft is ending Cataclysm. Thank you so much for listening, and you're awesome!
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there!